بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم Respected brothers and elders الحمد لله with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala For the past two or three majlises we discussed the advices, the nasihat that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi had given his student. And very valuable and priceless pieces of advice were given and we had discussed all that. And today inshallah, we will discuss some advices that Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani sahab damat barakatuh had given. In one of his discourses, a very simple topic, something that affects all of us, and that is, do not neglect a'mal, good deeds, for the sake of others. In other words, because others are watching you, so don't forsake the good a'mal that you are doing or you intend doing. Now these things are practical things that many of us overlook. He says, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Ali had mentioned, he could give an example. Somebody is making dua and he is begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one can see humility on his face. The expression on his face shows that he is now sincere. He's begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Probably shedding some tears, he's crying. And suddenly some person comes. So when the person now who appears and begins to look at this person who is making dua. So the one who is making dua, suddenly he stops crying. And that expression that was on his face, where he was begging with that humility, the humbleness, now it disappears because he is conscious of the person who is watching him. And because of this person now, he stops begging in the manner that he was begging. One example is that of dua. Person may be making with humility and suddenly when somebody comes there, the expression undergoes a complete change. Why the person feels now difficult to be making or to be seen in this condition. Whereas he should not be feeling like that. We are making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala expects from us, Allah wants from us, Allah desires that we should show humility and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when our mind is going to go elsewhere and we are going to be concerned of the onlooker, then this is a lack in ikhlas and sincerity. Now we're not being sincere. We're not being genuine to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, according to what is written here, he says that it tantamounts to arrogance. He says, this type of behavior is not good. A person should show that humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now suddenly, when you're not showing that humility, it is as though you are not in need of Allah Rabbul Izzat. A few seconds ago, you were begging from Allah. Now suddenly, you change your entire expression. It is now as though that you are not begging from Allah. You don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, it tantamounts to arrogance. So he says, do not give up good deeds for other people's sake. To neglect an act of worship for other people is to show arrogance. He says, just as doing something for them to show some person. When somebody is coming now, suddenly you go and make long dua. And you make the expression of your face showing so much of humility to show that person. As though you are a very pious person, then that also is not good. There is ostentation, there is riya, there is show. And when you were making dua like that initially from the beginning, and now because of some person you stop that humility, then there is arrogance. Our deen is so beautiful. This is balance in every single thing. He says another example is, and this is very common, it is time for salah. And you find yourself amongst people, they're all Muslims, but nobody is ready to make salah. People feel ashamed to offer salah because other people are watching. There may be non-Muslims there. So because of them, we find it very difficult to perform our salah. And we come across a situation in the aeroplane. People are traveling for Umrah, for Hajj, for any purpose. We are Muslims, we are all traveling. It's a long flight. It is time for salah. How often you find that just a handful of people will perform salah. And the rest of the people, why aren't they performing the salah? Many of them feel it difficult because the non-Muslims are going to be watching us. So he said, we come across this situation, the aeroplane passengers seem to imagine that they are excused from observing salah. There's no excuse. They did not get up because the others are all watching. They forget that salah is a form of expression of humility and submission before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And neglecting that at that time is against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not showing the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not show arrogance then. What is arrogance then? We're supposed to be submissive and submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we are discarding the salat as though we are not bothered about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has commanded us to read our salah and we are not performing a salah, then that is arrogance. He says, I often visit non-Muslim countries. I have observed there are Muslims who feel shy to observe salah in the presence of non-Muslims. They do not wish to make a demonstration of themselves. They feel that they may be ridiculed and people now mock and laugh at them. He says, this is not correct. Wherever we are, of course, Sharia teaches us that find a suitable place to make the salah. So if you're in an aeroplane, then even though it is time for salah, then ask the people in charge, if you are traveling in such a flight where there are no accommodation made for salah, in the Saudi Airways, alhamdulillah, there is a musalla there. But in other flights, probably there is no room like that for performing salah. But seek permission, and if you are polite and courteous, they will make place for you. All of us have traveled, alhamdulillah. And every time there was a need for salah. And alhamdulillah, we were never refused any time. But it's a way of asking and explaining to them. And when a person, as the Mufti Sahib also mentioned these things, and we'll discuss it inshallah, that there is a manner in which we should perform our salah. Are we musafir? Then of course the namaz is made half, and of course not maaf. So if it is zuhr, then you only perform your two fard of zuhr. It is not time now, because there's a large crowd, and many others who wish to read salat, there's no room, there's no space, then you don't act like a big buzruk, and read all your sunnat, and nafil, and all your qaza-e umri, and hajat namazes, very common amongst the women. They're also listening, and I hope they pass the message on. I went once to the Mufti, Ahmad Khan Puri, Damat Barakatuhum. We were going from South Africa. We left for Umrah. I happened to be in the same flight as him. He was alone. And the ladies were taking so long for Salah. Just two rakats they had to read. They were reading namazes upon namazes upon namazes. So Hazrat had explained. He said, we should make quick because the whole plane is also waiting. And he told me to perform the Salah. And as I was about to say Allahu Akbar, he told me, Awjiz in Arabic, which means, be brief. Don't read long, long surahs now. So these are the things that we learn from our scholars, ulama, mashayikh. Everything has got, there's masail. And we must do the correct things at the right time. Yes, if everybody is fast asleep, and there's nobody using that, it is time now for nafil, and that's a different story. But especially when it's farz salah time, then there's queues. And that's the time when they want to serving the meals. So we're on the way. But if everybody just reads the two rakat salat and finishes over, then inshallah within a quick period of time, a short period of time, everybody is over. He says, salah at airport of Andalus. He says, Muslims are now found all over the world. Salah is nothing unusual. In fact, I've had the opportunity of offering salah at such places where not even a single Muslim could be found. But I was most taken aback at Andalus. This is the place where Muslims ruled for 800 years, during which time his atmosphere resounded the words of the Azan. When I alighted at the airport from the aircraft, it was time for salah. My friend and I looked for a corner to offer salah. We began our salah there. So it's also an important thing. We don't read where others are going to pass by. Of course, the plane now, find us on the side. But in the airports, not everybody is moving with the trolley. Suddenly now you see, no, we must show them how we are making ibadat. Go to one side. Find a suitable place. And then you perform your salah. So he said, we took one corner. And he said, we began our salah there. It was not a very conspicuous place, being behind a wall. But nowhere had I found salah as strange for anyone as I did for the people there. First, a couple of men stood to watch us. Then they brought others to see what we did. And soon there was a crowd of people. What amazed me is that though I had offered salah in America, in many European countries, in all of which they are disbelievers, yet salah was not such an unusual thing as it was in Andalus. So if anyone were to neglect salah, only because people would find it amazing, or that people would think it's the wrong thing, then it is actually arrogance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he explains that sometimes we are traveling, and we know definitely, inshallah, if there is no delay in the flight, we are traveling, and you will land at your destination, and when you land, there is ample time still to perform your salah, then you should wait till you reach your destination and perform your salah, especially if it's very difficult to perform in the aircraft, if it's a small aircraft and there's no space at all. Now you know definitely when you reach, there's enough time to perform, come out, make your wudu and perform your salat. Then you should wait till you reach. He says, sometimes salah may be slightly delayed, postponed, but not discarded. If we are traveling, he says, in a train or aeroplane, and we don't find enough space to make our salah properly, then in this case, the right thing is that when we reach our destination, or when we land, then we should read our salah. He says, we have extremes. As I explained now, some people won't perform salah at all. And some people will read lengthy salah. So we have got extremes. He says that one extreme are people who do not offer salah in public because they don't want people to observe them. They feel very shy, astaghfirullah. Their behavior is arrogance before Allah Ta'ala. And the other extreme are people who, he gives an example, he says, are such that when we're traveling in a small plane, it is time for salah, since the journey was very short, and we could have discharged our obligation comfortably at the destination. But some of my friends insisted that they would offer salah in the aeroplane. And they would make ablution. And they made wudu there. They called out the azan. And they made salah to jamaat. The crew told them that they did not have proper facilities to do that. But these people were adamant. They said two people went to the washroom and performed ablution in such a way that the place was full of water. Although one should be very careful that you do not put the next man into difficulty because of the water that you are using. So the azan was then called out. They prepared for the congregation. Passengers moved about, and amidst them, they arranged their row and began the salah. The crew were Muslims, so they finally accommodated these people, but wondered at their behavior. What was wrong, as the Mufti Tab says, what was wrong if they had waited for a little while, and when they reached or landed, they could have read the namaz comfortably and peacefully. But they created a scene. The washroom was a mess. And everyone who visited it spoke ill of them. They obstructed people's passage. I tried to explain to them that they could wait for the plane to land as I was waiting. But the extreme was that they paid no heed to my advice. Now from here also, he goes on to making wudu in the plane. He says, without realizing it, we we cross over to this other extreme. The crew of the plane always disallow passengers to perform ablution in the plane if they learn of the intention, because the washroom is rendered unusable by those who make ablution there. I often travel by air and do have the need to perform wudu, but I am careful to leave the washroom neat without a drop of water on the floor and making the place untidy. This is Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, such a great alim. He says, I make sure that I do not leave the place dirty. It is not difficult to observe cleanliness, he says. There are towels in the washroom, the tissue papers. One can clean the surface and the basin with them. But our attitude is, we have made wuzu for Allah's sake, and our obligation is over. Now this is such an important thing. And unfortunately, sometimes the entire aeroplane passengers are all Muslims, and everybody is going for Umrah. But really our behavior is pathetic. Absolutely terrible. We make demands, we shout at the crew. For silly demands we make. If the thing that you ordered, it wasn't, or the platter of food that you got, not something what you like. Now you're demanding and making such a noise. What is it if you take your own food? We are taking your own food as it is. Eat your own food. That's the safest thing to do. We make demands and we want to show them that we're going for Umrah. MashaAllah. Then we may leave the place in a mess. Where we're sitting also. Just even if you paid for that airfare, and you paid a high price, so you can leave it as you want. The toilet facilities are given. It's small. It's difficult. It's narrow. How many times really we have been there, and we find the place is all Muslims. Only Muslims are traveling. You can't blame the non-Muslims. And we see the condition in which the person or the people leave that bathroom or the toilet. We find it so difficult to go inside. So difficult. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Purification is part of iman. Our deen teaches us cleanliness. Hazrat Shah Kashmiri Rahmatul Ali was a giant, one of Akabir. And when he used to go to the normal toilet, then he would, after relieving himself, he would clean the toilet and leave it spotless. So the next person, when he comes in, he won't find it difficult to use. We don't bother, we don't care. These are things, akhlaq, that we have lost totally, totally, totally. We have just lost these things. Nobody is prepared to show any botheration, any concern whatsoever. Now these are things, akhlaq, Hazrat Muhammad Madni Rahmatul Ali, traveling in the train in India, and with him was a non-Muslim sitting there, and the non-Muslim, the Hindu person, went to the toilet and came back very quickly. Hazrat Muhammad Madni Rahmatul Ali made out that this person did not relieve himself, because he just went and came back within a few seconds. He realized something is wrong. He went there, he saw the place was in a mess. Hazrat Hussain Ahmad Mona, Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah Ali, what a great alim. Such a great person. Himself, he cleans the toilet in the train. This is the humility they had. We talk about our buzrug, our elders, our kabir, but these things we ignore. He cleans that entire toilet. He comes back, he says, Lalaji, you can go. He said, no, it's okay. He said, go. When this Hindu goes there, he sees this place, toilet is kept clean for him, was made clean for him. He relieves himself, he comes, and the ulama say that this person accepted Islam. He says, this is your deen, this is your akhlaq. So when we go there, you will lose nothing. You can be the world's greatest mufti, qari, you can be imam, you can be a sheikh. Take the tissue paper and clean the place, and leave it clean enough for the next person to use. Allah Ta'ala will reward you. That is humility. That is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Not that you're a big sheikh, you got thousands of murids, but others must clean it. No. Rasulullah SAW had tawadu in his life. It's not below our dignity. Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatul Ali of Darurum bin Nuri town, where most of ulama of the country, or many of them studied there. Such a great alim he was, Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatul Ali. One night, one of the students sees him cleaning the toilets of the students. Other that covered his face so nobody must see him. The late part of the night, bending down and cleaning the toilets of the students. So the student happened to say, Hazrat, you are... He warned him, please, you don't tell anybody this. So after Hazrat Mullah bin Nuri Ramadan passed away, then the student told the others, I had seen Hazrat cleaning the toilets himself. So he says, when you make wuzu in the plane also, then don't mess the entire floor and clean the place. He says, otherwise it's double sin. If we leave behind a dirty place, then we commit the sin of causing inconvenience to other people as well. And we also then commit the sin of driving people away from Islam. If they were non-Muslim, they say, oh, what kind of Muslims these are? What type of akhlaq do they have? And we hear these comments many times. Hadith tells us, yassiru wa la tu'assiru, bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Make things easy. Don't make things difficult. Give people glad tidings. Give people hope. Don't chase them away from your deen. Don't chase people away from your deen. He says, today we do not consider these things as part of our religion. It is difficult even to go to the toilets of our masjids. Mufti Taqisab is writing. And he had mentioned of one place that he had gone to, some country in the world. And he found it terrible. He said the masjids, the toilets were very, very dirty, except a few places, mashallah, he found that they were clean enough. Alhamdulillah, in our country, there is special care taken for somebody to clean our toilet, etc. So we take things for granted. Why? The poor muazzin, he'll do that. We should leave the place ourselves in such a way that we don't mess it, or if it's messed, then we clean it, so it's easy for the next person to use. He says when he had gone to Birmingham, he was in Britain, traveling by train from Birmingham to another place. He says it was a long 5 hours journey. He says, during the journey, I had to go to the toilet. Now he's traveling by train. But when I went there, it displayed the sign, occupied. You see, the same thing happened a little while later. The third time when I went, I saw the sign, unoccupied. But there was a woman who already standing and waiting outside to go in. So Mufti Zab says, I pointed out to her that the toilet was unoccupied and she may go inside. Why is she standing outside? She said she knows. It's written the unoccupied, the non-Muslim lady. She says she knew that she had, that it was unoccupied and she may enter the toilet. She said she knew that she had just used it but was about to flush the toilet and the train stopped. And it was disallowed to use the flush when the train was stationary. This was the rule. When the train is stationary, don't use the flush. So she waited for the train to resume the journey so she might flush the toilet and then return to her seat. Now this is the akhlaq. He says, I recall my father's teaching, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He had told us never to leave the toilet without flushing it after using it. Otherwise, it was a grave sin. Other people are inconvenienced if we do not do that. Go to the Muslim countries, Allah forgive us. So difficult to use the toilets. Besides, the woman was careful not to use the flush at the station where the train had stopped. Would we do such a thing? There are clear instructions in the toilet that it should not be used when the train has stopped. Clearly, that would spread filth on the station and cause difficulty to passengers at that station. Then he explained again about masjid toilets, how we should be leaving it. And he says, my respected father, Rahmatullahi, used to narrate a story of an Englishman who embraced Islam in the Jami Masjid of Delhi. It's after becoming Muslim, he came to the masjid to offer salah. And he observed the wuzu khana, the drainage pipe of the place was very dirty. But no one cleaned it for a few days. He'd come and see nobody cleaning it. He came one day with a broom and a mop, poured water and he began to clean it. Someone saw him and remarked, oh, this Angres, a British man, has become a Muslim but has not forgotten his British habits. Astaghfirullah. So what he tried to say, that he's very, very clean. Now he's trying to clean the wuzu khana. You see, this was the wrong attitude of this person. This is something we should learn. That this person is so concerned about cleanliness. And we're coming to a place, masjid, and we want to make ourselves clean, and everything around there is dirty. That doesn't make sense. So everywhere we go, we should make sure that we observe cleanliness and we leave the place sufficiently clean for the next person to use. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. The thought this was important just to mention it, because it concerns all of us, especially when we traveling. It is the time when people are going for Umrah and traveling everywhere. So these are things, inshallah, if we bring in our life, Allah Ta'ala is watching. Allah Ta'ala will bless us. Allah Ta'ala will give us great ranks, inshallah. This is the humility we need to show. This is what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The month of Rabiul Awwal, when we talk about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find all these beautiful features in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Another very common question people ask, especially in summer months, about the Hajjut, and we have discussed this thing many times, but it will just refresh in our memories, that sometimes it's difficult because Fajr is very early, and Isha is late, night is very short. The person has intention to wake up for Tahajjud Salat, but it becomes difficult. So many people are writing saying that, you know, we're missing with Tahajjud, we're feeling spiritually low, etc. So, as the Mufti Sahib had mentioned a similar discourse once, and he said some people, they set aside a ma'mulat. What is a ma'mulat? Generally, when people take bay'at, the Shaykh prescribes some adhkar, some tasbihat, some masnoon du'as and things for the person to read for the entire day, or for the morning, evening. You have dhikrullah, we have la ilaha illallah, Allah Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Different adhkar are prescribed to different people. So we have a ma'mool. Ma'mool means a set routine, is a pattern. For example, a person has to read certain amount of Quran Sharif for the day, whether it is quarter para, half para, three quarter, one para or more, depending on the person. So these things are prescribed. Now all our mashayikh, they lay or they stress that a person should keep up to his ma'mool. This ma'moolat, daily, morning and evening, whatever ma'moolat has been given to him, then he should keep up to it properly, rigidly he should do it. It shouldn't be that he's lax about, he does it one day, and after a couple of days, then he starts again. No, there must be continuity. Because then he'll get the true benefit of all these adhkar and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be just an occasional thing. So he says people normally have their ma'mool and they set it aside for tahajjud time. What happens when a person, if he's going to miss tahajjud, then he'll miss the ma'moolat also. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned that a person should try and do the ma'moolat also with his Isha Salah when he will read his tahajjud then. Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned, Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, he says that when a person wakes up at night, happens to wake up at night, but he's feeling very tired, then at least he should sit up, and he should, while sitting up, make istighfar three times. All you need to say, Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli, Wallah, forgive me, Wallah, forgive me, Wallah, forgive me. He says, why? Because there's a hadith of Rasulullah SAW which says, there's a caller that calls out at the night, last part of the night, is there anyone who seeks forgiveness that I may forgive him? Allah Ta'ala deputes some angel to call out. Allah Ta'ala is saying, is there any person seeking forgiveness? I'm prepared to forgive him. So at that time, at least he will say, Allahumma ghfirli, Allah, mujhe maaf farma. Allah, you forgive me. So now the caller may proclaim, but if man is unconcerned, asks for nothing, then what kind of attitude is this? If a person wakes up and he can't make his tahajjud salat for whatever reason, he's tired, he's not well, at least sit up and say, Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli. He says, Allah Ta'ala has caused piety. When a person does one good deed, then Allah Ta'ala will give him the tawfiq of doing another good deed. When a person makes dua in this manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the tawfiq of reading few rakat salat. Right in the beginning we had mentioned, as Dr. Abu Hayy Rahmatullah Ali had said, that the ilaj, the remedy for a person who's finding it very difficult to wake up for tahajjud, but if his eyes open at night, All you can do is just sit up for a while, read this, Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli. Then see to yourself, you know what, I at least just woke up. I need to relieve myself. Let me go to the toilet at least and come back. And I can catch up with my sleep again. When you go to the toilet and say, I already came to the toilet, this much I have done, made istinja. Let me just put some water on my face. When you put some water in your face, okay, at least let me finish my wudu at least. When you have done that, then inshallah you will get the tawfiq of reading at least 2 rakat tahajjud salat at that time. So this is the benefit when you just say, at least Allahumma ghfirli, wallah you forgive me, then Allah Ta'ala will give the person. But even if you don't get the tawfiq of making the tahajjud at that time, at least you will be, your dua will be answered, because the time when duas are answered. So besides istighfar, whatever other dua you have, whatever the need you have, Ya Allah, you fulfill my need. Ya Allah, put this problem. Inshallah, a person's dua will be answered at that time. And Hazrat Thani Ramal has mentioned, and all our other mashayikh also, or many of them have mentioned, that after your Isha Farz Salat, and you read 2 sunnat, after the 2 sunnat, normally you read 2 nafil, in the 2 nafil, make your niyat for tahajjud salat. At least you have, or you'll be recorded amongst those who have performed tahajjud salat, even though you did not wake up late part of the night. It's a misconception that we have, that your tahajjud will only be accepted only if you sleep and then wake up. Yes, that is the ideal thing. There's no doubt about that. The virtues, when a person sleeps and then wakes up latter part of the night in tahajjud, which we have heard many times, da'bu salihin, tahajjud is the practice of all the pious people. Every wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala read tahajjud salat. So the ideal thing is to sleep and then wake up either midnight or last third of the night. But we are so weak, instead of losing the whole sawab altogether, at least get the sawab of tahajjud salat by reading your 2 rakat tahajjud before your 3 witr, when you read your isha, after the 2 sunnat, after your fard, 4 fard, your 2 sunnat, then you 2 nafil, make tahajjud niyat. And read your tahajjud then. Then after that, if a person wakes up again, Allah gives him tawfiq, then you read again how much tahajjud you want. But this much you have secured your sawab for tahajjud salat by reading it at isha salat time. It's not now we should become lazy and don't make an effort to wake up for tahajjud salat. Again, let's not go extremes. Take the moderate way. But this much, because we are weak, and especially in the summer months, instead of saying, Imanana al-Musma, whole tahajjud salat, what do I do? I'm feeling so bad. The whole year I was performing, now I can't seem to get it right. Read the Isha Salat. Insha'Allah, you have got the sawab for tahajjud. But make an effort, inshallah, to wake up also at night. And if you get the tawfiq, alhamdulillah. If you don't, you won't feel so guilty. Believe me, you won't feel so guilty. When you go for fajr, first thought, oof, I must make tahajjud. Then you remember that you read Isha time, at least you'd feel some satisfaction. So tahajjud Isha, Hazrat Thani Ramal has suggested that if one person has no hope of waking up in the night, then after the salat of Isha, before witr, he may offer a few rakat of tahajjud. This method has got some base in it. It's not baseless. He says, here's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Iyaz bin Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah said, that do offer some rakat of salat in the night, even for such a short time, that it takes to milk a goat. Few minutes only to milk a goat. Even if it means that amount of time only. But do offer some tahajjud salat. And then hadith is, and the salah offered after Isha will be regarded as in the night. وَمَا كَانَ بَعْدَ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. That what you read after Isha Far Salat, that nafil, then it is regarded as part of the night salat, tahajjud salat. Hadith of Rasulullah also, in the lengthy hadith, one part of the hadith, وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ. And a little in the darkness of the night. This hadith that tells us, the deeds that take one to Jannat. The deeds that a person, if he does it, then he gets Jannah. So after enumerating all the deeds, Rasulullah said, وَشَيْءٌ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ وَشَيْءٌ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ. And a little part of the night also spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stand before Allah Ta'ala in the night and submit your petition. This is one of those deeds that takes a person to Jannah. So if it cannot be possible for you to wake up at the last part of the night, the earlier part of the night, or after Isha, the hadith says, وَشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الدُّلْجَى. It's a little part of the night. So at least, because Isha, night already begins. So do it with your Isha Salat. At least you'll be making amal on this hadith and you are getting away towards Jannah, inshallah. And then he explained also the true, the real time, the ideal time for tahajjud is when a person sleeps and then he wakes up in the last part of the night or after midnight. He says, once I wrote to my Shaykh, Mufti Taqi Sahib, he wrote to Dr. Abul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayh. He says, Hazrat, I long for the ability to make amal on this hadith, wa shay'in min ad-dulja, and some part of the night to make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, but my natural weakness deprives me of this opportunity. I fall off asleep and the night goes away. So Hazrat Dr. Abul Hayy Rahmatullah wrote to him, he said, you already offered salat after Isha, didn't you? So when you did that, wa shay'in min ad-dulja, you have made amal on it. He says, may Allah Ta'ala enable all of us to get the opportunity and may He not deprive us of His blessings. I was mentioning in the morning to some of our friends that, you know, we do things in Sharia, we make a lot of amal, but we're just doing it, not realizing the benefits and blessings of these good deeds. We make wudu, but how many of us know what's the sawab of making wudu? We are reading salat, or after azan and iqamah, the namaz that we're reading, or we enter the masjid, we offer some namaz. What is the benefit of this? What's the sawab we are getting? We recite some masnoon surahs. What's the benefit of all this? So we need to have istihdar of fazail. In other words, we should bear in mind the virtues and the blessings of the amal we are doing. Why? It will create more shock in us to continue doing those amal. When the blessings are not in front of us, then we'll find ourselves doing it and then sometimes discarding it. But when you know, but if I do this, I'm getting Jannat. If I do this, then the 8 doors of Jannat will call out to me in the day of Qiyamah. If I do this, all my sins are forgiven. If I do this, then Allah Ta'ala will suffice all my needs for the entire day. Like a person, we did this whole majlis, I think it was last year, person who reads 2 rakat salat, like Ishraq. 2 rakat Ishraq salat, if you read it, then Allah Ta'ala will suffice all your needs for the whole day. I can take qasam in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it with the yaqeen. I'm reading my 2 rakat salat in the morning, ishraq time. Ya Allah, you suffice me for all my needs. And you see how all your work is done. So when we do our amal, of course we're doing only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not doing just to get rewards. We're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But have isti'adhar of this. You should bear this in mind. That these are the virtues. Why? When you have the virtues in front of you, that you create more yearning and longing in you to perform these good deeds. And then to make sure that you do it yourself, you must invite towards that good deed. In other words, share it with some friend of yours. You must know the virtue well. And share it with your friend or your wife or children at home. Then inshallah, by you giving dawah to that amal, Allah Ta'ala will give you tawfiq of making amal on that yourself. So as Thani Rahmatullah mentioned that you woke up at night, so inshallah you've got your sawab for it. And then Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah said, because we have our ma'mool and we have set that aside for tahajjud time, so he says, let's be cautious or take a precautionary adopt a precautionary method here. And he says what you should do is do your ma'mool, complete your ma'mool with your Isha Salat before you go to sleep. So at least you know you fulfill your normal ma'mulat. And for whatever you could not finish, you fell asleep, or you were not well, you were weak, and you did not finish the quota for that day, then for that make istighfar. Say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will still give you the full reward of doing that ma'mul. He says, there's a saying of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, which Dr. Abul Hayy Rahmatullah used to mention. He says, if anyone says after making ibadat, Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah, he says, the devil says that this man has broken my back. 2 things, Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah. He says, the devil attacks in 2 ways. One of the ways he uses, when a man has offered salat, he tells the person, whispers to him, oh, you read it so fast. Salat is no good. You had no khushu in your salat. You didn't read properly. So what happens? The person loses hope. When he loses hope, then he stops performing that nafil. This is the ploy of shaitan. So when this happens, the person feels dejected, hopeless. The cure for it is to say, Astaghfirullah. I seek Allah's forgiveness for any shortcomings and deficiencies in my ibadat. See the remedy? You did it. Of course, you must try your best to do it properly. But shaitan, he puts his whisperings in your mind and he says, you didn't do it properly. Then say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Allah will forgive me for my shortcomings. And then the other way he attacks you is, he tells you, oh, what a high level of salat. What a namaz you read. Your heart was making the tawaf of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody is like you. So what you must tell him then, because he's trying to bring pride in your heart. So you must say, Alhamdulillah. All praise only due to my Allah who gave me tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala accept it. So nothing happens without Allah ta'ala's will. So at that time you say, Alhamdulillah. And he brings the other thought that you just didn't read properly, so many deficiencies. Say, Astaghfirullah. Allah ta'ala will forgive me. After salah, we perform salat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There is this practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba. You say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. 3 times. The question arises, they read salat. Why they need for istighfar? Same explanation. That this is a confession. Oh Allah, my salat is not befitting to be presented before you. Ya Allah, there's so many shortcomings, so many deficiencies. Astaghfirullah, Ya Allah, I seek your forgiveness for any shortcomings in my salat. Rasulullah himself would make istighfar, one riwayat 70 times a day, another riwayat 100 times. The Sahabi said, I counted 100 times. Rasulullah said, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And we know he was ma'asum. But this is a lesson for his ummah, for people like you and I. We are weak people. And the istighfar we make, then Allah Ta'ala will use that istighfar to recompense for all our shortcomings in our ibadat. And then, by making istighfar also, a person, his rank, he progresses in rank, in spiritual rank. He says that Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah used to say, when anyone makes a mistake, he makes istighfar. And the result of that istighfar is what? Allah Ta'ala creates humility in the person. Why? Because you acknowledge and you're confessing, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, I did wrong. Ya Allah, I surrender before you. I'm feeling ashamed. I seek your forgiveness. I seek your pardon. So this is humility. And this humility, it creates humbleness, or this humbleness that comes into the person's heart causes him now to gain proximity to Allah Ta'ala. His rank goes higher and higher. He becomes more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sattar, Allah is Ghaffar. Allah is most forgiving, Allah overlooks, Allah covers our faults. So when a person makes istighfar, then he will gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat Thani Ramadan mentioned the incident of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. He used to wake up for tahajjud every night. One night, he did not wake up. So he missed his tahajjud salah. Not Isha, not Fajr, tahajjud salah. When he woke up in the morning, Fajr time, he was so sad, so sad, that he wept and he repented whole day long for that mistake. And he made so much of istighfar. He's a Sahaba. Sahaba makes a small slip. This is missing his tahajjud. But the manner in which they will make istighfar, lessons for you and I. And even other mistakes that they made. They were human beings, they made mistakes. But the tawbah they made is what you and I cannot even fathom. We are very quick to point out, he made a mistake, how could he do such a thing? But look at the tawbah that the sahabi made. Like in one incident, person had committed zina, and the person was then punished. And then one sahabi was standing there, or one person was standing there, and he exclaimed, when the blood of this person spilt on him, he said, Oh, Nabi Kareem said, this person has made such a tawbah, such a tawbah. That is, the tawbah of this person has to be taken and distributed to all the people of Medina. It will suffice them in the akhirat. These were sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And today we want to look for false at sahaba. May Allah protect us from such people. So Hazrat Thani rahmatullah mentioned the story of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Cried the whole day. Next night, someone actually comes and wakes Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu for tahajjud. He asks, who is it? He said, I'm shaitan. He said, you're very concerned about waking me for tahajjud. The shaitan tells him, the devil asks him, don't worry about that. He said, no, tell me, why are you waking me up? He said, last night I put you to sleep so that you may miss your tahajjud salat. But the next day you cried the whole day and repented. As a result, your rank was raised so high, higher than the position you would have reached if had you performed your tahajjud salat. So I felt, I rather don't give you such a high position, rather you read the tahajjud salat and don't reach that high level. See the effects of istighfar. Of course, istighfar is extremely beneficial and useful. It does not mean go purposely commit a sin so that you make istighfar, no. But if you make a mistake, we are human beings, then make istighfar. He says, this is the antidote for the poison of shaitan. It's the antidote for the devil's poison. Allah Ta'ala created the devil as a poison. He also created an antidote. When the devil stings, then use istighfar as the antidote. Istighfar. He says, South Africa's poisonous plant. As Mufti Taqi Sahib says, he's come here many times. He said, for every illness Allah Ta'ala has created, Allah has also created some ilaj, some remedy. So for every poison, there's an antidote. He says, he was in Cape Town, and they were traveling. He said, we stopped in a very beautiful place for salah. Beautiful scenery. He said, others were making wudu, he had wudu. So he said, I went and was watching, admiring the beautiful plants and the trees. And as I stretched my hand to pluck a leaf from a very beautiful looking tree, someone stopped me and shouted, Hazrat, please, Maulana, don't do that, don't touch it. He explained that it was a highly poisonous tree, as harmful as a scorpion. So I exclaimed that one is unaware, and he would suffer from the poison, he would not, like innocently I put my hand there, I wouldn't have known how terrible this would have been. So this person then informed me, Mufti Sahab, yes, it's true, but another plant grows in the root of the same tree, and that plant is an antidote for the poison. If anyone touches this poisonous tree and gets the poison, then he must also touch the other plant at the bottom and the poison would wear off. Allah Ta'ala has created an antidote for every poison. The same thing here, the devil too is a poison. When Allah created him, he also created an antidote that is easily available. It is tawbah and istighfar. Make tawbah and istighfar with a sincere heart and to resolve, oh Allah, I will not commit the sin again. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. Oh, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness from every sin and I turn to you. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make tawbah, istighfar. And this is the antidote for the poison of shaitan. May Allah give us tawfiq of making istighfar and making amal, whatever we have learned today, especially about huququl ibad. When it comes with regard to traveling or wherever we are, in any public place, wherever we are, make sure we leave those places clean so the next person does not find it difficult to use those toilets or those public places. They will see the true akhlaq of Musliman and they will be invited towards our deen. And when we are traveling by plane, all are Muslims, encourage the others to read the salah also. Okay, women folk, we can understand, sometimes it is haze, nifas, whatever it is, but the men, so they can't be suffering haze and nifas. Another important point also, sometimes we may read our salat and we fall off to sleep and we did not see that person performing salat. It does not mean he did not perform his salat also. Also that we have to bear in mind. Perhaps before coming into the plane, time has already set in. The person read his two rakat and came onto the plane. And we thought, now we are the first person to read our salat and never see that man reading. That is also wrong. Have good thoughts, just encourage the others also, but do it in such a manner that we're not rude to the crew, we're not rude to the pilot, and we don't cause takleef to others. Inshallah, if we are sincere, Allah Ta'ala makes an opening. Allah Ta'ala creates an opening. There have been times when we traveled, and it was not a Muslim flight, a non-Muslim crew, and very politely when we asked, they made special place for us to read our salat. So Allah Ta'ala makes a, when a person is sincere, Allah, I don't want to miss my namaz, I want to read my namaz, Allah Ta'ala makes the intizam for the person. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, this Wednesday after Maghrib, we'll be having the special program, you know, Hazrat Rahmatul Ali. It was his ma'amul, and we continue the same ma'amul the past few years. With Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, because it is so-called New Year's, and we find especially our youth, all of them are gone here and there, and they become attracted, they slip on that night, Allah protect us, protect them, and they get involved in many haram activities. So Hazrat Rahmatullah used to have a program, sometime after Isha, but then we found that we have after Isha, and we just finished, then at the same time when the tamasha is taking place, then again they're attracted and they go. Inshallah we'll have it after Maghrib, our normal dhikr and Durood Sharif and our masnoon surahs, a small talk, whatever, inshallah. But the main thing, bring our youngsters. That's the main thing. Mashallah, all elderly people, all buzruk sitting here. Although we also require it. But our youngsters, where are they? And they are the ones who are, which are involved in drugs and alcohol and so many other problems. Really, so many things. And we have sons, we have nephews, we have children at home, of course, who are baligh. Encourage them to come. Even there's no real special bayan or something. It's not going to be entertainment. But inshallah, who knows? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, alhamdulillah, with his taqwa and piety, Allah had blessed him. There were many people who came into his gathering and changed their lives. We are weak people, but inshallah, one or two people who may come, they make sincere tawbah, or at least will be saved from going to that haram place. Then we have succeeded, inshallah. Ourselves also, at least we won't be attracted anyway. So it is important that inshallah we will have this program Wednesday, this Wednesday after Maghrib Salat. So Thursday there won't be any program, but this Wednesday inshallah after Maghrib Salat. It is also the Gush day. Saathis make Gush also on that day. So we will have our program inshallah after Maghrib this Wednesday inshallah. So we can pass a message on to others. We call it, I don't know, stay in program or stay away program, whatever program you want to call it. But we won't call it New Year's program, because otherwise we get fatwas against us. So maqsad is only so that we may save our youngsters, really. If only you know what things that come and we see and read about, your sleep will go away. It's our duty, somebody else's, it's our own children, and we have to cry and make an effort. So inshallah, with words of encouragement, don't shout them and just, with words of encouragement, try and persuade them, encourage them, at least little while here, there. You don't know which person then becomes the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is impossible. And then we have become the means of that person becoming a wali. Allah Ta'ala will also bless us, inshallah. Also for our mothers and sisters that listen at home, inshallah. That's audio streaming and the receiver, etc. So many young girls also on this night, they go out to the beachfront. Zina takes place there. So many get raped. So many get into drugs. Mufti Siraj from P. Damat Barakat, a few Jummas back, he said it took only few minutes for that youngster who went to the beach and playing with his friends, and the drug was passed to him. He just tasted it. Class, he became an addict. His whole life became barbad. And who he was becoming, hafiz of the Quran. Few minutes it takes. So this is something that we have to worry about. And this all goes to the sawab to our Hazrat Rahmatul Ali. Nobody else, because he was the one who initiated this program. He had that figure. I don't know anybody else, mashallah, due respect to everybody else, they may have had, but I know Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Who would have ever thought New Year's Eve must have a program in the masjid to save our youngsters from going to haram places? So that's the only reason we also having, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.